Well, good morning and welcome to part six of our series, Who is God? So honored to have you here with us on this Memorial Day weekend as we give tribute and honor to those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice in giving their lives so that we can enjoy the freedoms we have in this wonderful country. And we want to, along with that, give honor to those who have served and are currently serving. We so appreciate your sacrifice and your sacrifice of your families, and we pray God's blessings upon you today. Well, I want to jump right into this part of our series, Who is God? And we're looking at this series understanding that 400 years Israel was in slavery in Egypt, and God sent Moses to deliver Israel out of that bondage. And as he delivered them and he sent word through Moses to Pharaoh, the word was, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh's response to that is recorded in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2, where Pharaoh said, "And who is God that I should listen to him?" And upon that question, we are basing this series. And each week we are looking at this question, who is God? And secondly, who is God that we should listen to him? And as God reveals to us who he is and we discover who he is that we should listen to him, we're then asking each week, what is our response to him? And as God revealed to Israel and as God revealed to Pharaoh who he is, I believe God wants to reveal to us today who he is. And through Israel's many experiences as they journeyed and followed God, God would reveal himself through their different circumstances. And I want to tell you that God, through the circumstances that you're going through today, he wants to reveal himself to you. And why does he want to reveal himself to you? Because he wants you to know him. In fact, he wants you to have a personal relationship with him today. And that is the goal of this series, is that you and I will come to know him, to know who he is, but also to know him personally and have that authentic, real personal relationship that we can enjoy with him that he offers to us today. And so each week we are looking at this this question, who is God? And we are looking at the 23rd Psalm as it reveals to us the seven redemptive names of God. And so I want to look again at the 23rd Psalm. If you're there in your homes, if you'd be willing to quote this with me out loud, that would be awesome. Come on, let's say it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let's take one moment to recap. Week one, we talked about the fact that he is the Lord, my shepherd. And the reveal is the first redemptive name in that he is Jehovah Rahi. He is the one who watches over me and guides me into all truth. And he wants what's best for our life as he guides us. And why is it we should listen to him? We discover that he is the Lord, my shepherd. And our response is that we are to know the shepherd. Week two, I shall not want. NIV, I lack nothing. And the reveal is the second redemptive name of God, Jehovah Jireh, the one who sees and provides. And we discover that he is the Lord, my provider. And our response to that is that we are to put our trust in the Lord who provides. Week three, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And the third redemptive name, Jehovah Shalom, the one who calms my soul. And we discover the Lord is my peace. And our response is that we can rest in the Lord, my peace. And we know that as we experience the peace of God, that happens when we make peace with God. Week four, he restores my soul. And the reveal of the redemptive name in week four is Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals my soul. And we discover he is the Lord, my healer. And our response is that we can put our faith in the Lord who heals. He still heals today. Amen, somebody. And then last week, we looked at part five in verse three, where he says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And the reveal last week was the fifth redemptive name, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the one who makes me whole. And we discover the Lord is my righteousness. And our response is for us to follow the Lord who leads my life. Well, today we're looking at the next part of this psalm, Psalm 23, verse 4, that says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And today, the sixth redemptive name of God is this. He is Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is here, or the Lord is there. We discover this principle, and that is the Lord is present. He is the one who is always with me. And today, I want to bring us to the first mention of this term, the Lord, and it's actually worded this way, the Lord is there. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35. The very last verse of the book of Ezekiel is this word that says, "The name of the city from that time on will be the Lord is there." Now, I've done a lot of studying of Ezekiel and trying to understand and how to unpack this for you, because I want to always take it in context of where that word is given. And so I've read all around this and studied kind of what Ezekiel and the book of Ezekiel is all about. So I want to be a little bit teachy up front, and then we're going to apply this to our lives and how this relates to us today. I believe it very much relates to where we are as a nation and even as a world, as we're in this pandemic and all the things that are going on. What a crazy world we're living in right now. And I believe that this is going to really help someone today. So I want us to look at this. Ezekiel was a prophet who lived during the time of international upheaval. I think we're in the middle of international upheaval today. He was a part of the 10,000 Jews who were taken captive and exiled to Babylon. He was of a priestly family, and therefore he was eligible to serve as a priest. So as a priest and prophet, he was a priest prophet that was called to minister to the exiles. And his message, which it came many times in acting out in prophetic symbolism, and it had much of his prophecy had to do with the temple and its ceremonies. Now, the theme of Ezekiel is the sovereignty of God. I want you to know, whatever we're going through, God is sovereign. And he speaks of how he is sovereign over creation, over the people, over the nations, over the course of history. Whatever we're going through, we know that God is sovereign, and he is ultimately in control. One little song we used to sing, "He's got the whole world in his hands," and how true that is. And the most important thing, does he have our life in his hands? And if our life is in his hands, listen, everything's going to be okay. His message was also, first of all, it was to Israel, and he confronted the sins of Israel. Secondly, Ezekiel's message was against the nations and God's judgment against the nations. But third, I love this, the message was one of consolation for Israel, a consoling word of hope for his people that they would experience. I want you to hear this. Now think of where we are today, that they would experience revival, restoration, and a glorious future as the redeemed and perfected kingdom of God in the world. Now, God speaks to us many times, and there's many times that God needs to correct us. But I love that with that correction, there's hope, and God comes to give us comfort and direct our life in the right way. And so it's prophetic with four major visions in the book of Ezekiel. And so he talks about the desecration of the temple, but it's balanced with the restoration and the purified temple that is to come. And so there's actually, and listen to this, there's approximately 65 occurrences or variations of this phrase, "Then they will know that I am the Lord." And so listen, through the book of Ezekiel, it's clear that God's intention is for them to know him. And I believe his intention in giving us this message today is that we may know him. Again, that phrase is that then they will know that I am the Lord. I believe that God wants you to understand through whatever you're going through that he wants you to know him and that he is with you in the midst of it all. And so the people of God found themselves, listen to this, in a very, very low place, especially when the news came that Jerusalem had fallen. So let me just hit the pause button right here. And I want us to relate to this as a world and as a people and as a church. The world is in a state of international upheaval, and we find ourselves in a very strange place with a lot of different circumstances and uncertainties that we're all going through. And for many today, it is a very, very low place. We have health concerns. We have financial concerns. We're affected emotionally, and all our world has changed right now with everything we're going through. And suddenly we find ourselves in a very low and, for many people, a very depressive state, and even oftentimes a very fearful place. But the word came through Ezekiel, and I believe this word is for us today, that in such a place, the Lord comes to bring revival, to bring restoration, to bring a hope for a bright future. And so as I looked at this in context, I went back to the chapter before of this verse that reveals the name of Jehovah being the Lord is there in the temple, that he is there in the city. And I looked at chapter 47, where it talks about a vision. And Elijah is given this vision where he is led to this stream. And the stream, look at this, the stream is flowing east from beneath the door of the temple. Get this, the stream, this river, this stream of this water is flowing east from beneath the door of the temple, passing to the right side of the altar on its south side. And Ezekiel was led into this water. And first it says he was ankle deep. Many of you are familiar with this story. Then the next thing you know, he's knee deep. And then before long, he's waist deep. And then after a while, it's deep enough to swim in. And then as he goes on down through the river, he sees that there are trees growing on the banks of the river. I want to pick it up in chapter 47 of Ezekiel in verses 8 and 9 when he says this. Then he said to me, God said to him, look, this river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. I want you to underline that word, into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream, again, this stream that comes out from the door of the temple of God, the waters of the stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things, wherever the water of this river flows. There'll be living things where this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish, look at this, wherever this water flows. Now I said, underline that word valley. This river will flow to the valley. So can I bring us back to the 23rd Psalm that says, yea, though I walk through the valley. You know, recently I had the opportunity to go up on the Blue Ridge Parkway with my family, and we saw this beautiful view from way high up on the mountaintop, and it was just beautiful. But then it came time for us to come down off of the mountaintop, and as we went down this incline, and it was a steep incline, man, I had it in second, third gear trying to get down the mountain. But we discovered as the lower we got that there was this beautiful stream that followed the road there. And we pulled over and we got out on the rocks and we got our feet in the cool water of the streams. And we saw how beautiful it was, how beautiful it was there in the valley. Can I tell you something? That the valley oftentimes is presented to us as a depressive place, but can I tell you it is potential for a place of great beauty, of great nourishment, of much life. That valley can be a beautiful, beautiful place. The 23rd Psalm speaks of the valley of the shadow of death, though. And in the description of the 23rd Psalm, when you look at that word valley in this original text, where it's mentioned in the 23rd Psalm, it is described as a deep, narrow gorge that is dark and frightening. And there's only two ways how you can either back up or you can go forward because you're kind of walled in. It talks about high walls. And in fact, it speaks that oftentimes those high walls is described of arrogance or pride that shut us out to the outside world. You ever feel you're shut out to the outside world? I think we're feeling that today. But in this valley, look at this now, there's not a lot of sunlight. But can I tell you, that's the place where you can grow. That's where the corn grows, not on the mountaintop, but in the valley where it's rich, where the river flows. And there is where we can discover who God is. He is not only God of the mountain. Listen, He's God also of the valley. There was one story in the Bible where the enemy of God's people were coming against him, and they just realized that every time they fight them on the mountaintop, they would get defeated. And they said, well, he's God of the mountain, but he's not God of the valley. Let's take him to the valley. We'll defeat him in the valley. And God said, because they said I'm God of the mountain and not God, mountaintop and not God of the valley, I'll defeat them in the valley. And he defeated them and defeated the enemy in the valley. Can I tell you that there's victory in the valley? There's victory in the place that you find yourself today. The river flows from God to you in the valley, and then the valley is where he reveals himself. So let me give you some things that I think will help us today. Number one, write this down. Write this down. Let me apply some of this to us today. Number one, God is with me in the valley. Write that down. God is with me in the valley. Psalm 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. You are with me. Can I tell you, wherever God is and his presence is, can I tell you, everything's going to be okay. It's interesting, many times when you hear the 23rd Psalm, typically in movies, where the 23rd Psalm shows up is when there's been a funeral and everybody's gathered around the graveside and everybody's dressed in black and they got black umbrellas. And if to add to it, if it's raining, that helps the mood even more. And you hear the 23rd Psalm quoted. And the reason for it is this verse right here that says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will, and there's portrayed this dark scene. But can I tell you that when God is with you there, there's no fear. There's no fear there. And you know that God is with you, and wherever God's with you, you're going to have the help that you need. Number two, write this down. God renews my life in the valley. God renews my life in the valley. Song of Solomon, chapter 2:1 says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Can I tell you that there is where renewal happens? It's where God gets you still in that place. Maybe it's a place of isolation. Maybe it's a place where you feel walled in. But can I tell you, that's where you can experience the intimacy of God, the closeness of God. You can hear the whisper of God. You can hear his voice clearly in that place where you steel yourself. It is an opportunity for God to speak life into you. He can renew your life in the valley. In fact, if you look at the 23rd Psalm, a lot of it looks like it's written not on the mountaintop, but it's in that place of the valley where the green pastures are. Right? Where the stream flows, where the still waters are, right? Where he restores our soul. It's in that place of the valley. Number three, write this down. God grows my faith in the valley. The psalmist said, I will fear no evil. I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. So he grows my faith in the valley. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So instead of the valley being a fearful place, what's the opposite of fear? It's faith. God actually can give you faith in the midst of the valley. I just got to tell somebody, listen, you don't have to be cowering in fear and anxiety and worry. God comes to strengthen you by his presence in the valley. You can say, I am strong. I'm not a victim. I'm victorious. I'm going to make it. God's going to see you through because he grows you. He grows your faith in him in the valley. Proverbs chapter 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You may not understand all the things that are happening around you, but in all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Even in the valley. There's opportunity in the valley for you to grow your faith. And then number four, write this down. God will bring you out of the valley. Now, I know you probably like that part the best. I just want to get out of this. But can I tell you, oftentimes the way out is the way through. But don't miss this important point. Psalm 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Underline that word through. You're going to get through this. And as I was studying this week, I mean, this past Wednesday, God just impressed upon my heart. Listen, I don't believe it's an accident that you're watching today. I believe God has a specific word. As you're looking at your phone or at your computer, I'm looking through this camera to you. I believe God's speaking straight to you today to give you a word that He is going to see you through. You're not going to die in the valley. God's going to see you through. You are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He is with you and He is going to see you through. I don't know who that's for, but it's for somebody today that's watching. And I believe, it's not an accident you're watching today. And I believe God wants to encourage you today. He's going to see you through it. And I know sometimes we think, well, I just want out. Yes, but it's oftentimes, again, the way out is the way through. You keep moving forward and God will see you through and He will bring you out. So receive that in Jesus' name. Receive that word today in Jesus' name. God will bring you out of the valley. And then number five, God will give me purpose in the valley. He'll give me purpose in the valley. Again, Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35. And the name of the city from that time on will be The Lord Is There. Now, Ezekiel was going through talking about the distribution of the land that was going to happen in the future. And there was going to be a reconstruction of the city and a restoration of the temple. But I believe it's also prophetic because the Bible teaches us that there's coming a day that there will be a new Jerusalem. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and there'll be a city coming down, that new Jerusalem. And the Bible, listen to this, I love this. The Bible tells us that the city will not need the sun to shine because the Lamb of God will be the light of that city. I don't understand that, but the glory of God is going to be so great that the glory of God, the brightness of His presence will light the city. Can I tell you that God wants to do that in our life today? Because Bible teaches us, listen to this, the Bible teaches us that we are the temple of God and we are His representatives on earth because He comes and He makes His residence. He brings His presence in, to live inside of us. So here's what I believe. I believe God wants us to be that place where the river, His anointing, His presence flows out and brings life to other people, as Ezekiel talked about in chapter 47. I believe that God wants us to be His representatives on earth, so they look at us and say, "The Lord is there. The Lord is present." We say, "Can you show me that?" Well, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said this. He said, "You are the light of the world." Now, He had declared Himself as the light of the world, but then He turns around and He says, "You are the light of the world." How is that? His light is within us. That means His presence comes and lives within us. So you may be in the valley today, but no matter what's going on around you and what's going on around the world, residing in you is the light, is the presence of God, is the eternal hope of glory. He resides within us, the presence of God. So I believe as we come forth from this pandemic, and as I believe that the church and all of us have been shut down, but I believe we're going to come out with a greater anointing that is going to bring forth life to people. It's not just going to be ankle deep, knee deep, or waist deep, but it's going to be deep enough for people to swim in, that there's going to be an anointing. God's given the church a voice today. So God's given you a new purpose today. As He's taken us through the valley, God's bringing us out with great purpose to be a voice that is powerful in these last days. I believe that. I love what Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So let's just recap here. It's revealed to us today the sixth redemptive name of God, and that is that He is Jehovah Shammah. He is present. He is with us. He is with us. The Lord, we discovered the Lord is present, and He's the one who's always with us. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." So what should our response be to that? I believe our response needs to be that we are to have faith in the Lord who is with me. That's our expression. I'm going to have faith in the Lord who is with me. As you're going through things, as we're going through difficulties, that's when God reveals himself. And when God reveals himself and he lets you know he's with you, that's all that you need, because he's everything and more, so much more than you will ever, ever need. So our response is to have faith in the Lord. I want to ask the question, have you put your faith in the Lord today? Have you made him Lord of your life? Did you know you can do that right now? You can experience his presence. And in his presence, listen, there's joy. In his presence, there's peace. In his presence, there's provision. In his presence, there's power for living. In his presence, it's everything that you will ever need. The greatest place that you can discover is the presence of the Lord. It's that secret place of the Most High that you can abide under that Psalm 91 talks about. And it talks about all the blessings throughout that chapter that we can enjoy. And it's for the one that dwells in the presence, that lives under the shadow of the Almighty. Listen, we don't have to live under the shadow of death. We can live under the shadow of the Almighty. And in that place, there is no fear of evil. What can man do to me, right? God is not only with us, but he's also for us. He's for you today. And so I want to give you an opportunity to invite him to live, to come and take residence and to live in your life. And that I'm just want to simply lead you, have the honor of leading you in a prayer. So if you're ready to pray that prayer, would you pray this with me? Come on, let's pray something like this. I'm just going to help you with the words, but just all you got to do is mean it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Come on, say it out loud. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for the promise that you are always with me. Thank you for sending me your son, Jesus, who said he would never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to walk with me and to be my guide. Oh God, I receive you now in my life. I turn from my way to follow you. I put my faith in you, and I know now that you are with me. In fact, come on, say it this way. I give you my life. I open my heart. I invite you in. Come live inside of me and help me to follow you with all my heart, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.